So the reading this morning is from Joshua chapter 1 and it's verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book, the law, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and have success. Then, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Jamie's going to preach to us now, and Lord, we ask that you will speak to us and that you will give us ears and hearts to receive your word. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. My name's Pastor Jamie, and whilst in Reddish outside, it's dull and it's miserable inside. And as we come to God's word, we find hope and we find light. And I'm super excited to be able to come to God's word with you this morning and find encouragement in it, as we always do. So Father God, we pray that as we turn to your word now, you will show us Jesus, you will encourage us in our hearts, and our lips will be left praising you. And to the glory of your good name, we pray. Amen. So let me tell you a story. In the 16th century, there was a Protestant reformer in England by the name of Hugh Latimer. He was known as a great preacher of his day, and as a result, he had many, many opportunities to speak. Once he found that he was to preach before King Henry VIII of England. As he thought about this great responsibility that he had to bring a message before the king, he realized that the message that God had laid on his heart was not the message that the king would want to hear. And as he began his sermon, he said, Latimer, Latimer, in his head, do you remember that you are speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has the power to command you to be sent to prison, and who can have your head cut off if it pleases him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears? He then paused and continued thinking and said in his head, Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, before him at whose throne Henry VIII will stand, before him to whom one day you will have to give account yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word. Latimer faced the choice. Would he preach what man wanted to hear, or would he preach what Christ would have him preach? Latimer did take his stand for truth and preach boldly. Eventually, he was martyred by Henry's daughter, Queen Mary. Now this morning we want to think about what it is to be strong and courageous. And when you think of courage or a courageous person, what or who comes to mind for you? What type of a character are they? What skills or gifts would they display? Perhaps he or she would have great physical prowess, or maybe a great academic mind. Maybe they would be well-travelled and have great people experience. Now, no doubt all of these attributes count. In his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, John Maxwell says one of the ways to tell if you are in fact a natural leader is when you look behind you, is there anyone following you? Because if there's no one behind you, then you're probably not a natural leader. But by far, he says, the main quality a good leader needs is influence. He says that's the most important trait that a leader can have, influence. Now, of course, all of these things are true, but what makes a leader, what makes someone courageous? Someone like Latimer, or perhaps like the man who was bragging that he had cut the tail off a man-eating lion with his pocket knife. When asked why he had not cut off the lion's head, the man replied, well, someone had already done that for me. We are called to be courageous and be strong. Now, just by virtue of a recap, last month we have been reminded of great acts of courage as men and women sacrificed so much for this country as we've looked back over the wars. Courage is winsome. We've heard a story of that already today. Courage is attractive. Courage is desirable. And in today's lesson, we look at someone who displayed this virtue, and his name is Joshua. Now, in looking at examples, we are often quick to point out fallen, least likely characters such as Moses or perhaps Peter or even Paul. And that's the right that we do that, because it reminds us that no one's life or background is beyond the redeeming power of our great and awesome God. But this morning is a big shout out to those who actually grew up in church and didn't really have a Del Boy background, but were always around church, had Christian parents, and they were loyal and faithful. That's Joshua. He grew up in church, if you like. Now, Joshua wasn't his birth name. That was Hoshua. Joshua was given to him by Moses in Numbers 13:16, and his name means Yahweh saves, God saves. It is the same name given to Jesus, Yeshua. Now, I'm going to spoil it for you. I'm going to be very upfront with the Christ connection here and for the church. So as I do, I ask the question to you, and you're to ask this as I speak, how is Jesus our greater Joshua? How are we, the church, like Israel in the book of Joshua, as we are called to advance the kingdom of God? Because newsflash, the church is also in a battle. It's in a war. Okay, it's not a physical one like the Israelites were engaged in, whereby we use earthly weapons or we are seen to be doing physical harm. No, our battle, says Paul in Ephesians, is against flesh and blood. So what battles do we face? Well, we face battles every day on a personal level, don't we? Many people are suffering from depression and loneliness. You know, even in Reddish alone, in the last month or so, the last 2 months, two people have sadly taken their own lives through depression and through suicide. We battle against mental health. We battle against abuse. We battle against temptations to our left and to our right. We are battling against social injustice. Pick up the newspapers, look at the TV, see what's happening locally and see all the injustices on our own doorstep. That's the reason why we have food banks. Look at the child poverty levels. Look at the mental health issues. Look at domestic violence. Look at sexual sin. And yes, we are battling for these things. And church, we should be at the forefront of this battle. We should, as men and women changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, be leading the way in these battles. And the church should be earmarked as people that respond to the need of our communities. But church, as much as these things are important, and they are not our chief battle. What is our chief battle? Our chief battle is that we are fighting for the souls of men and women and children to the glory of God. The church faces big battles. Christianity is increasingly being marginalized. The church is under fire. And yet the story today tells us that God has not left us alone as we engage in these battles, but he is the God, the great God, who comes alongside his people, or rather still, we are his people that come alongside him and what he is doing. So I'd like to break that down, and I see it done so as with the following sentences. So number one, step up. Number two, tremble. Number three, remember. Number four, only be strong and courageous. Five, never forsake. And finally, go. Six, go. So S-T-R-O-N-G, which makes, and everyone at home goes, strong, Jamie. Well done, you got it right. Okay, so number one, step up, which we see from verses 1 and 2. Now, last week we considered the call of Moses, as Katie said, Joshua's boss. We saw how God had heard the cries and the groaning. We all know how the story ends, but that doesn't stop us crying at the sad bits and the sad chapters, does it? And God's people were in a horrible place of injustice and sadness, but God hears their cries. He saw it all and responds by sending Moses. Now, when you think of Moses, he surely makes the top five. He's in the list of Bible greats. Moses is right up there. He probably wrote the first five books of the Bible that are sometimes called the Pentateuch. And that ends as Joshua comes in more prominently into the scene in the book of Joshua. And verses 1 to 2 tells us, it starts off his book by saying that there is a death, the death of Moses. Moses was 120 at this time, but the Bible tells us that his eyesight was 20/20 and he was as strong as ever. So imagine how it felt for Joshua, who was so faithfully by his master's side, loyally by his side. He believed in him. He was his role model, his example, someone who mentored him and raised him up. He saw the mighty hand of God at work through his master Moses, and now he is gone. The greatest leader, arguably, of the Old Testament is now gone. You know why these deaths are recorded? Well, in part, I believe it's to show us that they are just men and women, that they are just actors in a film, but that God is the director behind it all. These chapters come and the next one comes and goes, but there's one continual mainstay on every page about whom it's all about, to whom it's all about, and that is our God. And in fact, I believe every book points towards his son, Jesus. And as it was with them, so it is with us. We will come and we will go, but one person remains forever. So Moses, the servant of God, has gone. And now it's time for Joshua to step up, number one. Now it's time for Joshua to step up because the baton's been passed on. And as some of you know, when we are cast into that spotlight and certainly become that main man or main woman, whether at work or in the family life, it can be a little daunting, can't it? Even overwhelming. Imagine being Joshua in the shadow of Moses, this great prophet. Listen to the command from God who, in this moment of sorrow, as he's lost his mentor and friend, it says that God shows up and he says in verse 2, "My servant Moses is dead. Now you must lead Israel." He has to step up. Step up, Joshua. It was never about Moses. It was always about God. He needed to step up for the sake of others and be the leader that God had called him to be. In the book of Joshua, it becomes apparent that as Joshua starts, so he continues, and he goes on to become one of Israel's greatest military commanders, which means he really did step up. As we said, he was loyal, he was faithful in the small things, and he was, and this is important, he was available. When his time came, he stepped up. He was available and responded. How many of us are positioning ourselves, notably our hearts, to the place that makes us available? How many of us, like Joshua, see the bigger plan of God at work and are looking beyond our own comfort and our own goals? Honestly, ask yourself that this morning. Challenge yourself with that question. Am I living fully surrendered to God? Is his story the main story in my heart? And have I made myself available to him? And would I be willing to step up should he come calling? Joshua was that man. So one, step up. Two, tremble from verses 3 to 4. It says in the text, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Just as I have promised to Moses from the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, the Med, towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. That's a big allotment of land. In fact, that's much bigger than modern day Israel that God is giving to them. Now, please note that God is driving out these people so that his people can live there. And it isn't unfair in any way. These groups of people, the ones that all end with the ites, are summarized as the Canaanites. They were evil people. And God is sending his people in to purge the land and to destroy them. This was God's judgment on their sin, which we see all the way back as God tells Abraham in chapter 15, 16 of Genesis. This isn't the Crusades or unfair in any way. These people were, amongst other things, doing horrendous things to children, and it was an outrage to God. So he's about to destroy them as his judgment. But this land was full of many inhabitants. There's a lot of them. And who's Joshua got to help him? Well, basically, he's got a bunch of hillbillies born in the desert. All the parents that made it out of Egypt were, one, slaves, and two, they weren't soldiers, and two, they died anyway, because God said that because of their grumbling, they will not enter the promised land. So who has he got with him to take this land? Well, he's got Caleb, and that's a good thing. But certainly no one else with him is trained for war. No one else has any experience in fighting and evicting. Whereas the Canaanites were fortified, they had advanced weapons, they were trained for war, and there were many of them, and they weren't going to give up their homes easily, were they? And so on paper, when you look at what God is calling Joshua to do, it presents a bit of a problem, doesn't it? Physically, they have got no chance. That should make them tremble. Now, being scared isn't a sign of weakness. Trembling because of the situation isn't a weakness. If in doing so and feeling this way, we acknowledge it and hand it over to God and ask him for his help. Now, think about the task that we have in Stockport. We have a vision to impact not just around the world and in the UK, and we're doing that with our global mission vision, and we're doing that with our local outreach and our local connections with ministries such as Image and the Food Bank and CAP. We have been given a task to reach out into the culture in the middle of what I see as having an identity crisis, from politically to gender. And the church, if you look at the statistics year by year or decade by decade, they are falling, the amount of people that profess to be Christians in this country. And in fact, if you look at the number of truly born again evangelical Christians, the numbers are into the single figures. More and more likely, increasingly, we are living in this post-Christians age where people are becoming more secularized. How on earth, how in the world are you and I going to reach out to that? It's like Joshua facing the great task in front of him. We are facing giants like this. Why is anyone in wealthy, affluent Heaton Moor, why is anyone going to listen to you about Jesus? Why is anyone in overlooked working class Reddish with high levels of depression going to listen to you from the Heatons about Jesus? No, the task at hand around the world, nationally, especially in our communities, is vastly bigger than the numbers we make up or the resources we have. And so the task at hand should, on paper and humanly speaking, as we look at it, make us tremble. The task at hand, of the giving of the land that God is describing to Joshua should make Joshua and the Israelites tremble too. Untrained, in captivity, and through the desert they come. But when you understand the seriousness of the task, when it makes you tremble, when you understand our weaknesses and shortcomings, then verse 5 comes as a breath of fresh air to us. It comes as relief to our souls when we see the scale of the task. Remember verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I, God, was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. So point 3, remember. Remember what? Remember, God is with us. And what has he said? that if he is with us, no man, no one shall be able to stand before or against you. The Bible says no weapon fashioned against you shall succeed. To Joshua he says, no man shall be able to stand before you or against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. What beautiful words. What words of great comfort as we see the scale of the task. Look carefully. He doesn't respond by giving Joshua some seven-step master plan, a load of clever ideas in how to win and how to strategize. No, he gives himself. He says, I will be with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you as you go according to my word. Jesus said, for us, as we go, as we make disciples in his name, likewise, he is the one that goes before us. We just need to follow. We need to go in the power of his strength and in the might of his spirit. Times are different, yes, from back then. But the daunting task of reaching the lost, of taking ground, still stands. And it should make us tremble. But we remember who God is. The crux of the matter is, do we remember what he has said? I.e., go and make disciples. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. Do you remember his words? And do you believe them, brothers and sisters, to be true? What would Joshua do? Well, we saw what they did the first time around, 40 years earlier. They bottled it, didn't they? They looked at the size of the giants, the fortified towns. They looked at what they had, slaves on the run with lots of goats, and thought, stuff that for a game of soldiers. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. And they remember what God has said and done for them. And this is despite remembering what God had done through them, through signs and wonders and setting them free and bringing them out of Egypt. And yet they failed to enter the promised land because they had forgotten. But what about this generation? Will they learn? Will they step up? Will they tremble? Yes, but will they remember who is with them? Will we? Will you? With the task that we have at hand? God has placed us here for a reason. And during this season of lockdown, we have an opportunity to settle this in our minds and in our hearts. We are here for a reason. We are here in this church for a reason. The Christian life doesn't consist of just tuning in and out to your favorite Christian speaker. God has called you to be a part of a local community and to get involved with the mission, which for every church should be the preaching of the gospel and making disciples. And God is refining his church in this age, in these weeks and in these months, during these times of uncertainty, so that we come for it with absolute certainty. That time is short. We cannot put our confidence in earthly possessions, in wealth or in health, but in Christ alone. Get on board with the mission of the church. I'm so believing that God wants to expose our comforts during this season and put him and his church and the Great Commission back as a priority, that we would be a people that remember we're not here to just make our own lives comfortable, but to live for King Jesus. So number four. Only be strong and courageous. Verse 6, only be strong and courageous. What has he asked of us? Because we know God is good for his bit. We know that he is going to fulfill what he has said he would do. He's promised he's going to be with us. It doesn't mean it's not going to be scary or dangerous or intimidating. And so what does he ask of Joshua? This phrase that is mentioned three times in this passage alone. Only be strong and courageous, as we sung that song led by Nathan. Strong and courageous is in response to what God has called him to do and what he has said he would do. Joshua is to make a calculated decision. Give in to your fears or believe in God. That's what strong and courageous means here. Believe. Believe what God has said. Believe in who God is. Do you trust me? Joshua, do you believe I am who I said I am and I will do what I have said I will do? The strong and courageous not only identifies the does he believe bit, but it also is talking about the will you obey bit as well. Brothers and sisters, God is still in the business of calling a people who will step out and be strong and courageous for him. Will you? when faced with great difficulties and obstacles and opposition, when friends and families depart and you are working it out alone, will you believe? Will you trust that he is all you need? That he is all I need to know in my deepest, darkest and most difficult moments, that you are with me as you have said you would be? As the psalmist cried out, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 73 says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Psalm 31:24 says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Obey. Walk it out in faith. Be strong and courageous. Know that he is with you. It's like the story of a little boy who's going for a walk with his daddy, and he was holding on to his daddy's finger, and he kept slipping up and falling down. So he got back up and he grabbed his daddy's finger even tighter, and he held it even tighter, but several moments down the road, and he still fell over and kept falling over into the dirt. And he said, look, you know what, Dad? This is going to be a lot easier if you just take a hold of me. And that's what the dad did, because he was a good dad. He grabbed him and he held his hand. And you know what? That boy never fell again, because his dad had a hold of him. Be obedient. Trust in the God who said, I will never leave you or forsake you or let go of you. And some of us need to be reminded of this truth today. We need in our difficulties to be reminded that the most important person we can have by our side is Jesus. Because everything else makes sense when we have Jesus. Strength and courage comes when we have Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So keep him close. How do we do that? Verses 7 to 8 show us how to keep God close, which is our fifth point out of six. Never forsake. Never forsake what? Never forsake his word. Verses 7 to 8 say, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to all the law that Moses my servant has commanded you. Do not turn to the left or to the right, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Be faithful. God attributes that to following his word. God never acts outside of his word. There is, in that sense, no revelation. What he has said he will do will happen. It's why we place such emphasis on this book here at ECC. This is one of the problems the church faces today. The Bible is at times difficult. And at times, and in certain ways, it is no respecter of people. It convicts, it corrects. And in a culture that celebrates individualism, debauchery, or redefining of foundational matters such as gender and marriage, it really does offend. But let it not be because of us acting like morons delivering it insensitively. But conversely, let us be people that are not ashamed of the book. We believe in what God has said, and we will be led by it. People that will not bend to the pressure of society and the prevailing popular thought. No. 10,000 times, no. We will be strong and we will be courageous, and we will let this book navigate our lives. Look at some of the sub-commands in this verse. Be careful to do what it says. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, not even a little bit. Don't compromise. Don't let it depart from your mouth. And the way which you do it is by meditating on it day and night. Not like some tree-hugging crystal chanter, okay? But meditate on it. Come to the Lord regularly. If you're in a place where God feels distant from you, or if you're in an unhealthy place right now, and you recognize that by what's coming out of your mouth, what's coming out of your mouth, come to his word day and night. Meditate on it. If you want to know him more personally and closer, maybe you're tuning in today and you recognize God feels far from you right now. One of the ways we can do that is by remembering and coming to his word day and night. that we may know him more personally and closer. The primary way we do that is through prayerfully reading his word. Pray it through. Even if it's a couple of verses, it's far better that you do that than rush through a whole chapter of a book or don't meditate on it and allow it to permeate into your heart. How sad it is that we can give an hour and a half to a movie or 45 minutes to some dodgy Netflix documentary, but we struggle to give a fraction of that time to God's mighty word. Dear brothers and sisters, some things need to change in our lives. We need to step up. We need to remember who God is and that who he's called us to be. We need to remember that he is committed to that and with us as we step out by faith. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. And we need to respond in obedience. And our final point, verse 9, is go. Go, church, go. If we truly are lovers of God's word, then we will surely be obedient to it. James the Apostle puts it like this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The God who comes to Joshua, who calls him to step up, who calls him to trust, who calls him to remember, who calls him to be strong and courageous, who calls him to never forsake the word, is also a God of action. And he says, go. He is the God of action who saw us, a lost and ugly people marred by sin, trapped in darkness, and sent Jesus, who was and is the better Joshua, who was prophesied about that would come and save his people, setting them free from slavery to freedom, out of darkness into the light. He is the one who stepped up on our behalf, who trembled at the weight of the task in the garden at Gethsemane, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, who was strong and courageous as death and darkness surrounded him and ridiculed him, yet obediently and courageously he went to that cross. He is the one who fought and conquered the battle of sin and evil and the evil one. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Isn't that a wonderful sentence from the word? And now he is the one who said, like he did with Joshua, to come alongside him, to remember his story, to get on his side. As he said to the apostles and as he said to his disciples later, I have told you all of this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. These are the words of Jesus. Take heart. He's won. The victory is his. He is the one who stood on the mountaintop and said to his apostles and disciples in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And now that is our duty. We are en route to the new and better promised land. But before we get there, we have battles to fight. A gospel to proclaim, territory to claim for the kingdom. And as Joshua, who carried the name Yahweh, is my salvation and led his people to victory, so we who bear that same name, Yahweh, Jesus is my salvation, know Jesus will lead us into victory. Church, so many battles raging out there, so much pain and hurt and darkness. Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven, as C.T. Studd says, without having blown the trumpet, you heard that earlier, loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. We have a battle to commence in as a church. We have a great commission to fulfill. And the question is, will you step up? So we're going to take the opportunity now to respond in prayer. Then I'm going to invite Nathan up to lead us in our soul. So remember that. Strong. Our Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Lord, as perhaps we look at Christians, at what's going on all around us and the scale of the battle and the attack and the battles that the church is under, let us take heart, let us be strong, and let us be courageous as we see the response of Joshua, who knew that you were with him. And so, Father, may we hear your call now to us, your beloved church, to go and make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them. Lord, may we hear this call. And may we look to you, the God of the heavens, not to our natural circumstances and say, yes, Lord, we know you are calling us. We know you are with us and you will lead us on into victory to take this land. And Lord, we want to pray that for Reddish and the Heatons. Lord, we want to pray that you would send revival to our neighborhoods. Lord, whilst the statistics and everything says no, no chance, Lord, we look to you, the God of the heaven, and we hear you saying, go. And we believe that you can reform and you can revive our communities. So, Father, please help us to trust in you. Help us to be strong and courageous and to remember who you are. And, Lord, be with this church as you send us out. Speak to our hearts. Fill us with faith and godly confidence in you and in you alone over these coming weeks and months. Lord, we confess to you and admit to you our need, our weakness. We tremble before our holy God and say, we cannot do this in our own strength. We need you. We need your help. We need your empowering. We need your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would pour that out on us this morning. For those that would genuinely say, yes, Lord, I need you. We need you. Lord, would you give us your Holy Spirit? For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.